for Antiwar.com and Chaos Radio 95.9 FM in Austin, Texas. I'm Scott Horton, and this is Antiwar Radio. Last night, President Bush announced the escalation of the war in Iraq and the dispatch of another 21,000 troops to that unfortunate land. I'm joined on the phone by Justin Raimondo. Welcome to the show, Justin.
Good to be here.
Justin Raimondo is the editorial director of Antiwar.com, writes behind the headlines, and is the author of Reclaiming the American Right, The Lost Legacy of the Conservative Movement, and An Enemy of the State, The Life of Murray N. Rothbard. Did you get a chance to see the president's speech last night?
I did.
And overall impression, you liked it, you didn't?
Well, I mean, like or dislike doesn't really come into it. Let's just get down to what he said.
Okay, well, I disliked it.
Yeah, well, I disliked it, but, I mean, if I were a supporter of the war, I would not be all that happy. I mean, first of all, his whole delivery was monotonal. I mean, he looked like he was either on Quaaludes or hypnotized. And plus, the speech was not written that well. There were several unfortunate turnings of phrases in there that sort of undermined his message. But let's get to what he said. I mean,
well, what he said was he made mistakes, and the big mistake was not sending enough troops, and he takes responsibility for that.
Right, right. Well, okay, let's just go through it. He's talking about, right at the beginning, he talks about, we are engaged in a struggle that will determine the direction of the global war on terror and our safety here at home. So, of course, the key phrase here is our safety here at home. Nobody believes that anymore. You know, we're fighting them over in Iraq, so we don't have to fight them in the streets of Brooklyn. But nobody believes that the streets of Brooklyn are endangered or any more safe because we're in Iraq. In fact, quite the opposite. Our guys are over there, and their guys are no doubt over here. So there's a big disconnect.
And what he's basically saying there is that if America leaves, that Al-Qaeda will take over Iraq, and it will be like Afghanistan was before 2001, where it's a failed state where Al-Qaeda is free to use it as a base of operations against the rest of us.
Yeah, yeah. But actually, other parts of his speech contradict that, because in the third paragraph of his speech, and I'm looking for text here, he talks about, we had these great elections. Remember the blue fingers and blah, 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 and women are rising up, and, isn't it wonderful? And, of course, all the pro-war bloggers had purple stained fingers on their little blogs, and it was all a symbol of liberation. But then things turned ugly, and here's what George Bush has to say. He goes, but in 2006, after these great elections, the opposite happened. The violence in Iraq and Baghdad, quote, overwhelmed the political gains the Iraqis had made. I mean, he talks about the sectarian war, the blowing up of the Shia mosque in Samarra, and then he says their strategy worked, their meaning the Sunni militants. Quote, radical Shia elements, some supported by Iran, formed death squads, and the result was a vicious cycle of sectarian violence that continues today, end quote. In fact, what happened was that those elections empowered the radical Shia elements. Radical Shia elements that had been nurtured, supported by Tehran for many years. Those death squads were ready and waiting for the election victory. And so they now control the Ministry of the Interior in Iraq, and those death squads are the government of Iraq. Everybody understands that in Iraq. And so, what is George W. Bush talking about?
What he seems to be saying is that he's going to have the Maliki government fight the Mahdi army of Muqtada al-Sadr.
Blah, blah, blah. The Mahdi army. We keep hearing about this Mahdi army, and this is really the key to this whole speech. If you understand what the role of the Mahdi army is and what the role of the other unmentioned militia is, which is the Badr Brigades, or now called the Badr Organization, Okay, so the government there has their own death squad, which is far bigger than the Mahdi army, far more well-equipped and actually integrated into the military and security apparatus of the government, such as it is.
And that really is a major lie by omission when they talk about death squads, but they're really only referring to Muqtada al-Sadr's group rather than the Supreme Council for Islamic Revolution and their thugs.
Right. And the reason for this is because, you know, the Badr people are pro-Iranian. They've always been pro-Iranian. And they're still pro-Iranian now that they have power in Iraq. So the big difference between the Badr people and the Mahdi army is that the Mahdi people are anti-Iranian. Muqtada Sadr is a nationalist. He regularly denounces the Iranians as being foreigners, blah, blah, blah. So this makes no sense unless we want to hand over Iraq to the Iranians. This is the big mystery, and of course...
And all through the speech, he's blaming Iran for supplying, I guess he's implying the Sunni insurgency, but as you say, it's America's allies in Iraq who are the ones supported by Iran, so what does that mean?
Yeah. Okay, so let's just go through this speech, okay? So we've got... So he talks about if we leave, you know, the radical Islamic extremists would grow in strength and gain new recruits. They would be in a better position to topple moderate governments, create chaos in the region, use oil revenues to fund their ambitions. Iran would get nukes, our enemies would have a safe haven, and of course, Brooklyn is next.
Right.
But, of course, all of these things are happening now. They're happening because of our intervention. Radical Islamic extremists from all over the Muslim world are flocking to Iraq. And the reason is because of the American presence. So until we're out of there, they are going to be there. And so that's where that's at. For the safety of our people, America must succeed in Iraq. Only the Iraqis can end sectarian violence, and their government has put forward an aggressive plan to do it. So what's the plan? Well, here's the plan. We're going to embed our guys into their forces. These forces, which are thoroughly infiltrated by the Badr Brigade and other sectarian Shiite militias. And we're going to go house to house in Baghdad, knock on doors, or perhaps not knock so politely, maybe kick them down and come pouring in. I mean, this is a prescription for disaster.
Well, he
absolute
says...
Absolute disaster. I mean, we are playing with Shia card. We are saying, look, there's a civil war, and we're taking the Shia's side.
Which, again, is contradictory when later in the speech he blames Iran for the problem and basically threatens Iran. It seems with all the different factions in Iraq whose side that we could pick, it seems strange that the Bush government is picking the side of the people that he's trying to start the next fight with.
Well, you have to understand that in Iran itself, there are also factions. I mean, there's no unitary government there. There are all these ministries. They're controlled by different factions. There are the moderates. There are the centrists. There are the radicals. And so, I mean, obviously, we are picking the so-called moderate Shia. And the radical Shia are, of course, the Sadrists. The moderate Shia are the Badr people who are pro-Iranian. And they have their sponsors in Iran. And then there are the Sunnis, who are just totally out of the loop, apparently. And, of course, the Kurds, who are pro-American.
And the Badr people, they're moderates because they'll put a drill in your brain?
Yeah. I mean, well, maybe it's a moderate drill.
Yeah.
I don't know. Look, I mean, this is bizarre world stuff. And, of course, you know, there's an article by Mark Garrett, who's a former CIA guy, top neocon type, who wrote an article for the American Enterprise Institute talking about how we should play the Shia card. I would recommend that people go to the website of the American Enterprise Institute and search it out, because it's almost exactly what we're doing.
Now, Justin, you actually mentioned this in an article a week or so ago, I guess, that the neocons think, and if I understand this right, the neocons think that if America takes the side of the Supreme Council for Islamic Revolution types in Iraq and initiate a bombing campaign on Iran, that somehow that's going to win over the loyalty of the Saudi Shiites who live over all the oil in Saudi Arabia. Am I confused, or are they that confused?
I mean, what they want to do, I mean, don't just look at Iraq. Look at the entire region. Okay, so you've declared that the Muslim world is your enemy, or perhaps not really openly declared it, but you acted as if that's what's going on. So, what do you want to do? Well, you want to split your enemy along sectarian lines. I mean, people talk about, oh yes, you know, the invasion of Iraq was a big failure because now there's a sectarian civil war and things are terrible. I mean, this is precisely what the neocons have wanted from the beginning. And that is a split in Islam along sectarian lines. And they have it now.
In fact, David Wurmser wrote that in 1997, that our mission should be to expedite the chaotic collapse in order that we can make something better out of it when it's over.
Creative destruction, as Michael Wadeen puts it. And it's not very creative, but it's very destructive, and we're witnessing it now across Iraq and soon throughout the region. But, you know, there's another scary part of this. Bush says, after talking about the Maliki government's, quote, aggressive plan, unquote, he also talks about the reasons that they did not secure Baghdad. And he says, first, there weren't enough Iraqi and American troops. And then he says, quote, and there were too many restrictions on the troops we did have, end quote.
Right.
So what does that mean? I mean, it means two, three, many hadiths. That's what it means.
Right, and it's, I guess he's trying to kind of refer to an old Vietnam argument, right? That our guys in Vietnam could have won that war if the politicians in D.C. hadn't restricted their rules of engagement so tight that they were forbidden to do the proper job.
Well, you're too young for this, but actually there were no restrictions on our rules of engagement in Vietnam.
Oh, okay, that's just what I've heard my whole life as the excuse put forward by the right.
Well, but they were talking about stuff like, you know, we didn't nuke North Vietnam.
Yeah.
All right. But, I mean, actually, in South Vietnam, they set up whole killing zones where we just went in and completely decimated villages, entire villages, shot everybody, killed everybody. And so what they're talking about here is restrictions imposed by the Iraqi government to date. And you can't go in and kill people, like in Haditha, for example. You know, you just can't go in and start slaughtering people. So they're going to start doing that.
Yeah.
And
well, they're calling it the clear and hold. The problem is we've been able to clear in the past, but we haven't been able to hold. And people might remember clear and hold from the Superdome after Hurricane Katrina, when the military took over the Superdome. And that's what they did, was they cleared everybody to pass from one side of the room to the other, and then they hold everyone there. Everyone on this side of the line is secure, and that's basically from their military strategy that they, I guess, tried to implement in Vietnam and are now trying again in Iraq.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. But, I mean, 20,000 more troops to hold? To hold what?
Well,
and for how long? I mean, Baghdad is a very big city, and 20,000 troops ain't going to do it. So, I mean, that is just, you know, he's just talking through his hat here.
Well, Justin, to that point, actually, last night on MSNBC, one of their commentators, a guy named Lawrence O'Donnell, said that what you have to do anytime they announce a troop increase like this is you have to take whatever number it is and divide it by four. Because first of all, half of them are going to be sleeping while the other half are awake.
Right.
And then you have, half of those people who are awake are actually just support. So that when they announce 20,000 troops, what they're really announcing is 5,000 extra guys on the ground walking around, which amounts to nothing.
Right, but, I mean, look, criticizing, you know, Bush for that, that's the McCain doctrine. You know, we don't want to criticize Bush for sending too few troops, because those troops should be brought home immediately.
Well, no, I'm just emphasizing your point about, he's talking through his hat here, that this is basically politics. This isn't really about military strategy on the ground. It's about delaying the inevitable, admitting that he lost this war already.
Well, but, I mean, also, I mean, so then why are they doing this? These guys know that this is not going to work. And, you know, we're not talking about holding anything, but I would put emphasis on the clear and hold part of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they want to clear it all right, just like Slobodan Milosevic was clearing certain areas of the former Yugoslavia of, you know, Albanians. I mean, they want, this is called ethnic cleansing, or rather, in this case, sectarian cleansing. I mean, quote from his speech, these Iraqi forces will operate from local police stations, conducting patrols, setting up checkpoints, and going door to door to gain the trust of Baghdad residents. End quote. So these guys ain't selling Girl Scout cookies. Okay? They're going to go door to door. The sectarian militias that we are supposedly fighting, they have their headquarters in these police stations. What do you think the police are? They are hated and feared throughout Iraq, especially by the Sunnis, because groups like the Badr Brigade have seized control of the security apparatus of this government. And so what we're going to do is we're playing the Shia card with a vengeance. I mean, this is really the El Salvador option that they talked about maybe a year and a half ago, how they were going to unleash these death squads. So you have to look at this speech. There's the external meaning of the speech, and then there's the exoteric meaning of the speech and the esoteric meaning of the speech. So it's what he is saying versus what he really means. So what he's saying is that no more death squads. What he really means is that we've chosen one death squad over another, and we're gonna spread more death throughout Iraq. I mean, they're going to go door to door in Baghdad. What do you think is going to happen? Well, I mean, it's going to be a bloody slaughter. That's what's going to happen. And our guys aren't caught in the middle of a sectarian civil war. They're taking sides in a sectarian war. That is what is happening in Iraq right now.
Well, Justin, let me throw at you the most credible argument I guess I've heard for America not leaving yet. And it was made by Pat Buchanan last night on MSNBC.
Oh,
and what he said was, "I opposed the war in the first place, but now we're there, and if we leave now and this government collapses, there's going to be a regional war. That governments all through the Gulf will fall. You know, the numbers of dead will go through the roof. You think it's bad now, it'll be so much worse if we leave now. We've got to stay until some sort of resolution is created that will keep the state of Iraq together and end the civil war before we go."
Yeah. Well, look, we're past that. Nothing is going to keep the state of Iraq together. We're going to, you know, Pat, it's totally amazing. You know, I was listening to him, and My jaw dropped. But, you know, I mean, I understand what he's saying, that, you know, it's going to be a great disaster, but some disasters cannot be averted. I mean, Americans think that they can always make things better and right, that well, you know, mistakes were made, but we can fix it. But some things cannot be fixed. The minute we invaded Iraq, all of this was inevitable. Inevitable. And so we made a mistake, we're paying the consequences. Objective reality exists independently of what we think and do. And some problems are not solvable. This is one of them. Yes, if we leave Iraq tomorrow, if all our troops just disappeared, then yes, Turkey would take on the Kurds, Iran would move in, Saudi Arabia would move in, but that's happening anyway. Iran is involved in Iraq. The Saudis are moving in. Saudis are actually volunteering to go and fight with the Sunnis on the Sunni side. So, I mean, all this stuff is already happening. The question is, are we going to be caught in the middle of it all? Are we going to be choosing sides in this civil war?
And to what degree will Bush have the opportunity to expand the war from here?
That's actually what I was going to say next. I mean, that is the key thing. The longer we stay in Iraq, the more this war takes on regional connotations. And so are we going to start, I mean, elsewhere in the speech, then he talks about how we're going to start going into Syria and Iran, maybe. So he says, you know, we have to stabilize the region in the face of what he calls the extremist challenge. And he says, quote, "This begins with addressing Iran and Syria. These two regimes are allowing terrorists and insurgents to use their territory to move in and out of Iraq." I mean, he talks about how, you know, Iran is supposedly providing material support for attacks on American troops.
Yeah, and this is actually a lie that he started almost a year ago and has, you know, they're steadily beating the drum for it, that somehow the Sunni insurgency is getting all their roadside bombs from the Iranians.
Right. Well, I mean, what they're actually saying is, I don't think that they think that, you know, the mullahs in Tehran are actually subsidizing and aiding the Sunnis. They say that they're aiding the Mahdi army, which is manifestly wrong. I mean, the Mahdi army is militantly anti-Iranian. So, I mean,
are you certain of that?
They're aiding our allies there, which is.
Are you certain, Justin? Because Robert Dreyfus has told me that all the Sunni factions are backed by, all the Shiite factions, Sadr and Dawa and Skiri, all are backed by Iran to one degree or another.
Well, I mean, I don't see what their interest is in backing the Mahdi army, you know, since Sadr is, you know, very anti-Iranian. So, you know, again, the differences between the various Shiite militias are being blurred here. I mean, you know, like the Iranians have helped the Badr brigades. In fact, they gave birth to the Badr group. And also, you know, remember those four Iranians who were caught in the headquarters of the Supreme Council for the Islamic Revolution held by the Americans and then kicked out of Iraq after a couple of days. Mm-hmm. And this happened just when their leader, Hakim, was in Washington, talking to the president.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot going on there.
Well, and you brought up earlier the idea that what we ought to do is embed a few soldiers per brigade of Iraqi soldiers, a few Americans, inside the Iraqi brigades. And I talked with William S. Lind yesterday, who wrote the article How to Lose an Army for the American Conservative, who talked about if America starts a war with Iran, we could see the entire Shia populace that's basically been going along with America this whole time, that we've been empowering this whole time, turn on our guys. And
yep.
You talk about, you know, putting a few Americans inside a whole brigade of Iraqis, and Iraqis, you know, who, as you say, are basically members of the Skiri Badr brigades, that's a recipe for disaster right there.
Especially for the guys who are being embedded.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I would not want to be one of those guys.
Like the Jedi all shot in the back by the clones from Order 66.
Okay, well, all these popular culture references go right over my head. But I'll take your word for that one.
Yeah, there you go.
But so, you know, I mean, this whole speech is just blatantly dishonest. I mean, he's not really saying what he means. You know, the exoteric meaning is that, yes, you know, we're going to make, you know, it's our last chance, you know, to really, you know, make a dent. But the esoteric meaning is that we're playing the Shia card, and watch out, because we're reaching out now to Syria, we're threatening, you know, the radicals in Tehran, and this war is going to spread. And that is really what's going on here.
Yeah. I noticed last night on MSNBC when they reran the speech late, and they had all the commentary from Joe Scarborough, Keith Olbermann, Chris Matthews. They even brought in Tim Russert, and I forget the name of the guy that does the nightly news for NBC. It was all of NBC's heaviest hitters. And to a man, all of them acted as though this was the very first they had heard of, you know, any implication that America might attack Iran. And I thought for a minute there, wow, is it that the TV news guys get all their news from TV too?
Yeah.
That these guys don't read at all?
You know, I mean, you got me. I don't know where these guys have been, but I saw Pat Buchanan was talking about it on MSNBC. So, you know, at least some of us are aware that...
Yeah, he was the only one who seemed to be acquainted with these ideas whatsoever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's no accounting for that. But, of course, you know, the media has been way behind. I mean, this has always been the problem. And, you know, they're just... They don't know that much about... You know, I was shocked to see one of these news anchors, you know, talking about, well, you know, the Mahdi army, you know, now he's going after the Mahdi army, and they're pro-Iran. But they aren't pro-Iran. They're anti-Iran.
And no mention of the Badr Brigades at all.
Right, right.
Never on TV do they even say the word Badr in any circumstances.
I know. You know, I was looking for that also, and I didn't find it anywhere. It's just that, I mean, most Americans, for perfectly, you know, understandable reasons, do not know anything about most of the world outside of America. And furthermore, they don't care to know. I mean, even the guys who you know, it's their job to know, don't seem too interested. You know, it's the parochial mindset, which I, you know, guess is part of the American character. And I mean, that can be a good thing, but not when you're an imperial power.
Right. Well, and that's why there's antiwar.com.
There you go.
All right. Thank you very much for your time, everybody. Justin Raimondo, he's the editorial director of antiwar.com. Thanks.
Good to be here. Bye.
All right, everybody. This has been Anti-War Radio for January 11th, 2007. We're here Monday through Thursday on Chaos Radio 95.9 FM in Austin, Texas from noon to 1 o'clock. And check out the archives on the blog at antiwar.com.